Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. And it is now or never. And as a matter of fact, I want to rant a bit, but I don't want to keep Paul because we're going to be covering the Assumption Act and the Bank Act, or, you know, the establishment of the first national bank that Hamilton kind of manipulated everybody into. And so, Paul, welcome back.
Hey, GR. It's good to be back. We had a great time with the ratification debates, and so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I have to apologize for insisting that we go through the very first funding act that basically was the Assumption Act. Now,
why would you have to apologize?
Just because, and I have to apologize to the listeners. Listening to somebody read you your mortgage is about, you know, is about a death nail, or it's a guarantee to put somebody to sleep. But
okay.
What's important is, and I know people just want to get the high level stuff. Well, just tell me what I need to know, you know, and it's great to have that type of faith and trust, you know, that the people, you know, listeners and people, when they give you blind trust, I don't want your blind trust. Folks, I'm not here to get you to just say whatever GR says, give it to him. I mean, I've actually worked in situations and conditions where I've been blessed that way. You know, I actually, in a few different times in my career, I had a superior basically come into a meeting and say, whatever GR wants, GR gets. Let's make sure he gets what he needs. And that's just, that's a level of respect that, you know, obviously I had to earn that. But folks, never just take for granted, you know, that this person's going to tell you the truth all the time. You've always got to do the due diligence. Never marginalize or provide blind trust. This is how the party has become so maniacal, or I should say the parties have become so maniacal. The Democratic and Republican parties, the uniparty, has basically established this blind trust. And now they are literally driving us right off the precipice. And I say this because, as I have mentioned on this radio show several times, that Nikki Haley and Vivek
Ramaswamy,
thank you, are not citizens. They are not eligible to be president. Why is it that the RNC has not come out with that information? Why is it that nobody is talking about this? Because there's a reason why they are actually trying to ignore this. And because you actually, who are the two, other than DeSantis, the only two people that seem to be getting, I will say, press and focus right now are the two ineligible people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this a stunt for Trump, or is this literally a facade to, you know, to help people just put aside the law of the land and just allow anybody? Because next thing you know, George Soros will be president. Not that he'll still be alive. Maybe, well, Bill Gates. But who knows? We may have actually, the president or chairman or whatever, Z, the, you know, the Chinese Communist Party dictator.
Yeah, Chairman Xi.
And so, folks, we have to hold to the law. And what I wanted to rant about. And I know I've worked with you on this, Paul. I work with a lot of people throughout the different states that we're working. Constantly, this constantly comes up in trying to, you know, my time is far too consumed with trying to help people, you know, deal with the distractions. When I talk about distractions, I talk about tactical civics. I talk about the sovereign citizens. I talk about all of these things that are, you know, trying to get people to get off of the path of reclaiming the Republic. Now, there are great organizations out there that are subject matter experts on one thing or another, but these organizations are also the siren song. They're the temptress to get you to get wholly involved. The leadership of these organizations, the management, you know, throughout, if it's a big organization, Tactical Civics is one of them. John Birch Society is another. They've got managers and leaders that, you know, we're really the ones that you need to be involved in. And this is because they actually charge for membership. Or, you know, they just want to convince you that their myopic issue is the most important issue over, you know, all of them. And I'll give you two cases in point where people really kind of have a high moral high ground, but they're literally getting people to turn their backs on the Constitution, the abortion issue, maybe the sanctity of life itself, and the most precious and most innocent of life, you know, an unborn baby. I mean, I can't say that that's not important. But when you only deal with that, you know, we want to deal with it all. And we want to be inclusive with it all. But when you only deal with that, I mean, you can be completely consumed with trying to save every life. There's evil has become so rampant that what we have to do is we have to kill evil. And the evil isn't just doing that. There's another organization, the Constitutional Alliance, and they're out there, you know, helping and fighting against facial recognition technology and biometrics, you know, and this identification process that if you don't have this, you know, if we need your biometrics and you can't do anything without it. And that is basically like the mark of the devil. Well, okay, you know, here's two issues that could easily get you so consumed that they get you to turn your back on the entire Constitution. Clearly, the Lord wants us to stop killing babies, and he wants to stop the progress of evil of using this type of control. But, you know, I could go through other things, whether it be the Second Amendment, medical freedom. There are all of these other issues. You know, there's the constitutionality of taxation, which has driven sovereign citizen movement to create this very deceptive mantra that gets people to, you know, go through the legal process of surrendering their citizenship. And I'm here to tell you, folks, that, you know, that is the worst thing you can do. But Paul, I think you can acknowledge that all of these, I'll call them distractions, because we want to take out all of this. And the only way to do this is by using First Amendment petitions, not being limited, to basically go down the same path that Martin Luther went down and actually have, you know, this full-scale, you know, a comprehensive repository of petitions that address every single violation of the Constitution and demand redress for them. Because Go ahead.
The Constitutional Alliance, is this the same group that filed the lawsuit about Kamala Harris?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. That's the Constitution Association. I know that they filed a lawsuit against that. But if you look at the Constitutional Alliance, they are very myopic. And I've actually asked them to give us a usable petition that we can use in every state. And it came across, well, it's really complicated. We can't necessarily do that. And then come to find out, you know, it's something that they just can't get involved in. And it's just like Tactical Civics. They just can't get involved. And why is it that they can't get involved? Because there's money behind many of these organizations. And this money controls them to say, we're giving you money to do this one thing, and with this one, you know, and only this one thing, that we're not going to fund you to do anything else. You do anything else, and we will pull the funding from you.
That's a controlling interest that can actually silence you if they don't go. You don't go the direction you want them to go. That's
absolutely,
and it's really unfortunate.
Well, it's more than just that. Mm-hmm. That's corruption. What's the difference between a corrupt politician that you have, you know, whether you've just got photographs, it doesn't have to be money. Because, see, these people are receiving money, and that spigot of money that they become dependent on. And this is how devious the devil is. You know, all of a sudden you start getting an influx of revenue, and all of a sudden things are just going really good, and you're building an organization, and all of this money that's coming in, it normalizes you on your day-to-day finances. You know, the operation of your home, you don't have to work full-time. Now you've got this job. And now all of a sudden, if there's something that becomes a threat that would take that money away, then what do? You can't pay your mortgage. I mean, you are in bed with a very evil being,
right,
that has that level of control.
You know, when you... And something I tell my audiences is that when you, I don't know if I've said it here before or not, it's kind of uncomfortable for me to say, but, you know, one of the things, we have to realize who we're really fighting. You know, you and I talk a lot about uniting on the Constitution. And I've got something... I'll share with you shortly, but let me bring out one of the... First of all, GR, and I don't know if we bring this up often enough, I think we're in a spiritual battle. And so imagine this. Everyone knows who Adam and Eve is. You know, Adam and Eve were given two commandments in the garden. One in the garden, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And one when they got kicked out. Remember what it was? By the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat thy bread. So they had to work. Okay, I'm going to give you thorns and weeds and brambles, and you're going to have to work to eat.
Yep.
But Cain discovered something different. He discovered that he could get power and gain by the shedding of blood. And so what's happening is that we're fighting the people who are getting wealthy from bloodshed. Okay, there's bloodshed in the womb. Bloodshed in Ukraine, bloodshed in city streets, or people who look like me are killing each other, and no one gives a peep.
Right.
Okay.
Let me inject something, because I want to add to that.
Okay.
By the sweat of thy brow means that you have to support yourself.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it didn't take long for the offspring of Adam and Eve to implement a perversion, or actually a direct violation of that law, when one actually started getting another to use the sweat of their brow so that you could subside, so that you could eat, so that you could live. In other words, it didn't take long for them to violate that law by implementing slavery. And this is how society went thousands and thousands and thousands of years with embracing this concept of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And there it was, violating that one law.
Right. So what's interesting about that, we've been through this, is that the Constitution itself... Actually, I know people who say, you know, the Constitution was written by white slaveholders. Okay, well, guess what? Are we slaves? You know, some people say that we're slaves, but I wonder.
Well, the sovereign citizens tried to prove that point, but actually, the Declaration of Independence and the framers really tried to actually move away from slavery, and it really became the most heated contention during the Constitutional Convention, because the majority of the men representing the states, I don't want to say the states themselves, and the reason that they really understood that, you know, they just couldn't flip this switch is because there were three delegates of states that said, we refuse to be involved in a union that is going to take away our labor, our source of labor. And And bottom line, all of these men realized, because it was unanimous with the delegates of Virginia that they wanted to get rid of slavery. And they felt that if they put it into a document, that it would be done. Just flipping of the switch, it would be, you know, like a Band-Aid. Pull it, you know, just jerking it off, and there you go. It's done.
It's just things just don't work that way.
The reality is, had they done that in Virginia, had they done that in all of these different states, they if you don't change the hearts and the minds of the people, then they just look at, you know, how are you any different than, you know, England? Because, you know, you just ripped away what they've perceived was property, wrongfully so, but that was their paradigm.
Right.
And so how can you actually, you know, believe that the people will not rise up, or you won't cause a you know, I don't want to say a harm, but, you know, trying to right this wrong is not as simple as just pulling the Band-Aid. And I believe, and this is one of the things we discovered this year in the course of going through the ratification debates, that clearly the Constitution was done in such a way that it would eradicate slavery in the Union through its own evolutionary process. As the Union grew, it would grow away from slavery. And that actually, we saw that manifest in the early 1800s. And then, and then when everybody realized that slavery was truly in danger, before it was like 1817, they started actually making alliances and so forth as Missouri was going to become a state. And they implemented the Missouri Compromise, which forced slavery, and it maintained slavery, all in defiance of the Constitution. And so anybody that says the Constitution is a racist, slave-enabling document, actually, they're ignorant to the real facts that the Constitution was and did eradicate, was being very successful in doing that.
Well, G.R., let me go maybe off the rails a little bit and say that the Constitution is even more than that.
Oh, sure.
You know, we had. Well, I want to. I don't want. I apologize. I know that sometimes the off in radio silence is bad, but I had a moment here, and what I may wind up doing is when I think about what the founders experienced. As they were fighting Great Britain, okay?
Well, not only that, but I think that there was, you know, it was about liberty and freedom. It was really fundamental. But I believe the spiritual transition really came in the halls of the Philadelphia Hall, or what was it? Independence Hall in Philadelphia. And I believe that those men there had a spiritual experience in being inspired to create this. It's not like they didn't have distractions. You know, it's not like contention didn't come in and Satan trying to influence these men. But the Lord prevailed in actually providing a document, one that was got rid of slavery, that actually promoted liberty throughout the land, just like the Liberty Bell. But here's the interesting thing. Every man that was a part of that process never once recanted their assertions that they were inspired by the divine hand of providence. And as a matter of fact, in the forming of the new federal government, it was a unanimous cry from Congress to George Washington to declare a proclamation of thanksgiving and service to the Lord. And we're not talking about a feast. We're not talking about gorging. We're not talking about gluttony. We're talking about, you know, sanctifying this nation and this Constitution by fasting and serving Him. And well, go ahead.
Now, understand what they had been through.
Right.
They had been through a bloody conflict in which they retreated more than they advanced. They lost more battles than they won. And still, they defeated the most powerful military force on the planet.
So let me ask you a question, because you and I have lived through a lot of different conflicts. We've lived through Vietnam. We've lived through the Iranian hostage situation, Grenada. There have been little teeny conflicts here and there that you may not be aware of, like, you know, the Burma situation and so forth. I mean, Falkland Islands. But we've saw the Kuwait invasion of Iraq and got involved in Desert Storm. And then we've also we as a nation have, you know, wrongfully so, in the way we the way we dealt with these situations have been wrong. You know, right. That you've heard me say that we need to admit these states in the union. But bottom line is, we've actually gone through these things. And just recently we've gone through, you know, Desert Shield, Desert, you know, the 9/11. We've gone through so much. And, you know, here's the question. Do we today, you know, how fast does it take for a nation to just, okay, we just went through that. Maybe the men that actually went out and fought that battle and had PTSD and those types of things bear the brunt of that. But as a nation, you know, it as soon as you've declared, you know, victory and we're off to something else or whatever we declared, you know, we quickly just, it's like water rolling off a duck's back.
Well,
right.
I think
our attention span, what I'm trying to say is our attention span is so short as a nation that we don't think about, and we don't constantly think about the lives sacrificed and what we were doing and the consequences and so forth. But here's the one of the things I need to point out. You're familiar with W. Cleon Skousen.
I am.
And W. Cleon Skousen. Oh, awesome. So W. Cleon Skousen. So he actually wrote some works about the framers, and he basically pointed out, I want to say it was in the 50s or the 40s, how the framers have been wrongfully attacked. That Thomas Jefferson was fathered a child with his slave, I forget, Sally or whatever.
Sally Hemings.
Yeah, and that was actually refuted much later by DNA evidence that it was from his family, but it was his brother, not Thomas Jefferson. And I don't have the time to go through and refute all of these things, but let me ask you why at the turn of the century, because W. Cleon Skousen really starts to, you know, defend the framers after this long period of decades of attacks of the framers. Why were they being attacked? And it really started at the turn of the century, of the 20th century. Go ahead.
There's a lot that's just not understood about the framers. There's a lot that's been shared about them that's not necessarily correct. And Cleon Skousen has a really interesting perspective. You probably, if you know anything about his faith, okay, you know why he went through the effort to stand by the.
No, I just thought. And so I believe that what he was trying to do is he's trying to prove that people have been recently perverting, because what I believe, if I remember his assertion. People are trying to destroy America by actually casting doubt and actually casting negative light upon the framers.
Oh, sure.
And that's how religions are destroyed. And you made a comment. We got 20 seconds left, so let me end on this and we'll bring you back for your reply. Okay. You mentioned that we're in a religious war. Well,
spiritual war.
I actually, you know, will take it more into a cognitive realm. We are in an ideological war. And so ideologically, it is more comprehensive because it's both a cultural warfare. It is both a religious form of war, spiritual. It is a very broad spectrum warfare where everything is being challenged. This is why we're under assault in so many different directions. And I believe it is an ideological war that is really the testament of, like, what we... I'll be right back after this promo.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
I guess the easy way to bringing you back into this, I think the easy way to really frame this is part two of the war in heaven, because the war in heaven was truly an ideological war of liberty, whether we actually would be able to make our own decisions or whether we would be subjugated to Satan. That Satan would subjugate us. And I believe that, you know, that ideological split in heaven that cast 2/3 of the host of heaven down here to earth.
Sure. And you know, that can be found in scripture. And one way of saying it is we're fighting the same war we fought before we were born. And most people just don't understand that. And for those of us who explore, we have, for those of you, for people who may not know, for example, the LDS faith believes the Constitution is scripture. And I happen to have some of that here because there is an organizational document called the Doctrine and Covenants, and it refers to the Constitution a few times, and it might be interesting to the audience to know that members of the, I don't want to call people out, but members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints actually believe in script their documents that the Constitution is inspired. And let me give you a couple of examples. There is one, let's see, where is that? There's DNC, there's something called Doctrine and Covenants. And in 98, there's about a few paragraphs. You mind if I share these?
No, go ahead. Okay. I mean, so, I've always had a conviction in my heart that, and as a matter of fact, I tell people because based on all my studies and everything else, not only the framers, but as I've read and understand this, I see the Lord's DNA in this Constitution. And anybody that spends any time in science or in the Constitution, you start to see, his fingerprints, his, like I said, his DNA, his that the source of all of this is from him. Go ahead.
Sure. And so whether you believe this or not,
right,
it's something that we ought to consider because members of this church believe that this is the word of the Lord. So let me start with it. This one is in Doctrine and Covenants, I guess, 98. And I'm going to start so that I have context. I'm going to read about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and stop me if you have any questions here. Said, and now, this is the Lord speaking, verily I say unto you concerning the laws of the land, is my will that my people should observe to do all things whatsoever I commanded. And that law of the land, which is constitutional, supporting that principle of freedom and maintaining the rights and privileges, belongs to, get this, all mankind and is justifiable before me. This all mankind is something that you and I have talked about before, uh-huh. But let me continue. Therefore, I, the Lord, justify you and your brethren of my church in befriending the law of the land, which is befriending the law, which is the constitutional law of the land, and as pertaining to the law of man, whatsoever is more or less than this cometh of evil. I, the Lord God, make you free. Therefore, you are free indeed, and the law also maketh you free. And two more verses for context.
Okay, go ahead.
Nevertheless, when the wicked rule, the people mourn. Wherefore, honest men and wise men should be sought for diligently, and good men and wise men ye should observe to uphold. Otherwise, whatsoever is less than these cometh of evil. Very succinct way of describing not just the what the Lord feels about the Constitution, but the type of people who should support it.
Interesting.
And what we should look for, right?
Yeah, so the few LDS people that I know, they don't seem to have that sentiment. I mean, I try to appeal to all people. And, I really appreciate that, and I don't ask anybody to, reveal their faith, because I believe that this is a universal appeal to all people who believe in Christ, who believe in liberty, not just Christ. I mean, I see liberty in the hearts and minds of people from India, those people like the Sikhs and so forth. I know that there are, other faiths. Israel, or I should say the Jewish faith, is one that has been brought up in the same, doctrines of the Old Testament, at least. But, I don't believe, and I've said this, I don't believe that God is a respecter of man. I believe that, he created this Constitution as the global governance, as his plan for globalism. Because in this Constitution, the United States, or I should say Congress, has the authority to admit any state into the Union. They just have to establish what the standards are.
Correct.
And so, I wouldn't trust Congress in its makeup today to do that, other than the fact that I think the states need to step in and say, and the states need to establish what those standards are. In other words, they need to amend the Constitution to say, any foreign nation that, that is admitted into this union must have these standards. It's nice that Congress has this ambiguous power, but I don't trust them anymore.
Well,
this why it really does require an amendment to clearly dictate that English must be the land, the law of the land. I don't think that it would be contradictory to dictate religious faith, other than the fact that if your religious faith cannot embrace the Constitution as the law of the land, of allowing religious freedom, allowing, these inalienable rights to be protected, then you cannot be a citizen in this nation. You can't be a state or citizen. Go ahead.
Well, I think it gets even better than that. But what we discussed this. America needs to imagine where it would be if America had a clean house, if we weren't in 100 nations all over the world, air quotes, spreading democracy. Okay, so you've got people flooding into the country over our southern border. But imagine this, and GR, you told me this, it shocked me. But remember, we talked about the Missouri Compromise a few minutes ago.
Uh-huh.
But didn't you tell me that because of the Missouri Compromise, that Mexico decided not to become one of the United States?
Yep, absolutely. Okay. That was the nail in the coffin that sealed the coffin, saying we're not going to become a part of this nation because of slavery. Absolutely. So, and Canada was the same way.
Wow. So imagine this. Okay, where would we be if we had followed the Constitution? It's liberty that in the verses I read before, that the liberty that the Lord wanted to share throughout the earth, talk about a foreign policy of freedom. All right. Imagine it had Mexico joined, we would probably have included all of South America by now. So just this is it's kind of a what if. But let me share something else. Just a few, a few sections further down.
Okay.
In this document.
All right, go ahead.
This one is called.
Since I'm ranting, and this is just helping me, you know, get the remaining steam that I have. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. This is Doctrine and Covenants 101, and so you think about what Cleon Skousen has written and what his background is, and this is really interesting to me. And again, I'm going to share some verses here for context, but when you get to the last verse, catch what's said here. And And again I say unto you, those who have been scattered by their enemies, it's my will that they should continue to importune for redress and redemption. This is interesting, because this is what we're doing with petitions. For redress and redemption by the hands of those who are placed as rulers or are in authority over you. According to the laws and constitution of the people, get this, which I have suffered to be established. Now, this is something interesting here, because this is supposed to be the Lord speaking, right? And now he's saying the constitution, which I have suffered to be established and should be maintained for the rights and protection of all flesh, according to just and holy principles. You think that's, and it's as if that's not enough. Then he says that every man may act in doctrine and principle pertaining to futurity according to the moral agency which I have given unto him, that every man may be accountable for his own sins in the day of judgment. Therefore, it is not right that any man should be in bondage one to another. So here's what's happening. And I've got one more to read, but that's an important one. It's slavery is not the Lord's plan. Okay?
That's right.
He said you wanted everyone to be accountable for his own sins in the day of judgments. And then he says it is not right that any man should be in bondage one to another. Now, someone's going to ask why they let him get away with slavery in the first place. But then here's the next one.
Actually, he didn't. As a matter of fact, if you look at the concept of Israel, because slavery, you know, there were people that actually went into slavery in Israel because they couldn't pay their debts, they couldn't provide for their subsistence or what have you. So they went into slavery, or their circumstances turned to where they couldn't, you know, relieve themselves of their obligation. And so the Lord says, if you're going to put a person in bondage or whatever, that, you know, after 6 years of bondage, you are to free them.
Correct.
That's why they have a jubilee, and that we just went through a golden jubilee just earlier this summer. Actually, I think it was in springtime, because I don't think it was. I think it was in spring. The golden jubilee.
The calendar lined up for one of these jubilee years. Is that right?
Yep, the golden jubilee, which is a 50-year jubilee. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let me read this last one.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, because now this is what's called Doctrine and Covenants 101, and verse 80. And for this purpose have I established the constitution of this land by the hands of wise men whom I raised up unto this very purpose, and redeemed the land by the shedding of blood.
Yep, I truly believe that. I truly believe that the shedding of blood, because that goes back to the law of sacrifice, you know, the sacrificial lamb, you know, that the Jews for thousands of years, or the house of Israel, did that. But
well, and bloodshed isn't something that the Lord takes lightly. You know, Christ shed his own blood. And so there are those who will shed blood for their own wealth, and that's who we're fighting. And then there are those who will willingly shed their blood to preserve their freedom, to preserve their family, to preserve their liberties.
Okay.
And that's what the Lord is referring to here.
Well, so I Paul, I appreciate you sharing all of this. And let me bring this back around, because I am so frustrated in the loss of time in trying, you know, as a general, as a commander in war, you know, whether you're a platoon commander, whether you're a company commander, a battalion commander, at whatever level, you cannot have disfocus in the ranks. Mm-hmm. And so I can't command, and it's not my job to, you know, because I don't want to judge anybody of, you know, where their faith, because, you know, I've had people come up and say, you know, the Lord has told me to go down this path. And mm-hmm. I've actually ran into people that were doing, I thought, some really good things, and then they went down this other path, and I'm going, well, okay, that's between you and the Lord.
Right.
Because you're telling me that the Lord's taking you down that path, that's between you and him. And you have to let people, it's just like when people want to be rebellious, you know, that's their choice. But there are consequences with that. And if it comes to arms, you know, and we have to shoot each other, then, you know, over the differences and conflicts, if it's righteous, then we should be doing that. And I understand that, you know, we as a people with the military and our government taking us down these paths of doing things for evil reasons, it's always been over this noble cause. Right. So what I hope and where my heart and prayer is, and I have prostrated myself, that we as a organization, we as, because we're really not an organization, but we as a people that are united on unifying on the Constitution, no longer allow ourselves to be distracted on, you know, all, because there is a million different things out there to take our eye off the target, to take right. our eye off of what we need to be doing. And it is easily the distraction that gets us to let go of what we're doing just for a moment so that we can turn mm-hmm. our heads, and next thing you know, we end up wandering or, you know, going down this path of being ineffective in what we really want to do. Because I believe everybody that gets involved in this has buy-in, because I don't want to inflict anybody, tell them that they have to do this.
Right.
But I believe that as people do this, as people read this, you know, they receive, you know, these witnesses from the Spirit that this is what they need to do. Now, I can't believe that somebody's receiving a witness from the Spirit that these, you know, false claims by whether it be or these hypocrisies from these controlled oppositions, all of these different people, and this lens, I'm coming back around here. Mm-hmm. W. Cleon Skousen basically pointed to, I believe, the source of why the framers were being attacked, because Satan knows that all he has to do is throw the seed of discord, and all we need to do is give it water or give it the light of day, and that mm-hmm. seed of discord will just start flourishing in our ranks. And right. As somebody with a military mind, you can't have discord. I mean, it's proven that you create, you know, whatever your organization is, you all of a sudden become a dysfunctional organization when you have true discord going through your ranks. And I don't wish that upon anybody. And I definitely don't wish that to be here. What I wish is that people start really looking at, you know, why either, you know, it's this simple. Either you're a part of the solution or you're a part of the problem. Okay. And if these organizations, if these entities are not really doing what they need to be doing, and if you can't prove me wrong that the First Amendment petition is clearly been put into the Constitution as our final weapon, mm-hmm. that we now have the weapon to change the hearts and minds of the people. And this has been proven historically. Gandhi did this. The land barons of, you know, England did this with King John.
Right.
And, you know, it put England on a path of enlightenment that, you know, they started growing and flourishing to where they knocked off the Spanish, you know, I'll just say the latest empire of the Mediterranean, because it went from Rome to Spain.
Right.
Or Rome, Italy, then to Spain. And so when England became the world empire, the dominator, you know, it's not that they didn't become evil. They did. But they fought another glorious revolution. That contention will always exist. And I see that we're going to be dealing with this. But I think it is a clean and concise way of dealing with this by saying that if you're not doing the things that actually solve the problem, using First Amendment petitions, how does that solve the problem? It educates and engages the people. This requires a movement. The people must accept their responsibility. They must accept their share of the blood on their hands and head for failing to hold their governments accountable. And that is the only way we move forward. It is truly, we either have to have the judgment day very soon with our government, or God will have a judgment day with all of us.
Sure. Let me, there's something else that I think is important for us to know. One of the reasons, probably not at the forefront, but one of the important reasons that we need to unite on the Constitution is because its enemies are united on the Constitution. Let me tell you what I mean. They know that if they put us in all these different directions, if they are focused on breaking the Constitution, let me tell you, if they break this border wall, it's over.
Yes.
If they get to the point where the people won't understand and enforce their constitution, you know, they've got a laser focus on it. We have to have a laser focus on it, because if they break this border wall, I don't know if you've ever heard of economist Walter Washington. Here's what he said: if liberty dies in America, it's destined to die everywhere.
Yes. And that's why Trevor Lawton's here, because he's trying to save America from dying. You know, let me make a plea out to everybody that's listening, because this goes to a conversation that I've been, you know, because Paul sends me stuff because he's in, you know, I would just say ground zero for the sovereign citizen movement and all of these distractions. I mean, he's fighting this on a regular basis because, you know, it's so close to him in where he's living. And so what I have told Paul is what we need is a good transcript application that will actually play a video, and we can actually get a good clean transcript off of that video, so that instead of, because I don't have the time to make these videos or anything else, but what I can do is I can highlight the language of what they're saying and then point out the fact that they're offering no evidence. These are blind assertions, and they get people caught up, and they've offered no source material that actually proves what they're saying. When they say that we've been paying England, the crown of England, ever since the beginning of this constitutional republic, they offer no evidence of that. I've actually looked at the funding documents, and it's not there. And so they make all of these different assertions, and they create this evil assertion. And one of the things, and I've just quickly go down this little path here. Don't want to go down this as a rat hole, you know, because I know that the framers, you know, it's common that people point out how some of the framers were Masons. Now, Paul, I'm going to ask you, so the Freemasonry was taken over by Adam Weishaupt and the globalist idea. In other words, the Freemasonry organization, this was a global organization. So if Satan was going to infiltrate the world, the one organization that spans across all religions and everything else, as far as Western society goes, was the Freemason organization. And on the front of it, it seems like a very good, you know, benign type of organization. So Adam Weishaupt basically created the charter and the plan of doing evil and how they would move forward in implementing this, and actually brought this into Freemasonry. But when did he do that?
1776. That was May 1st, 1776.
Right. Okay, thank you. So that's when Adam Weishaupt wrote the charter and the plan. In other words, it didn't just get, you know, he didn't set, you know, type this up and send an email. He didn't, you know, telecast this. And in those days, they didn't even have the bat sign, you know, the spotlight on the clouds. They didn't have any really good way of moving this forward. And so it took a while for this to, because there's no way Adam Weishaupt would have succeeded. He would have been outed day one if he actually just published this out to all the people. He had to do this secretively. He had to actually get this to those who were corrupted that could be trusted. In other words, the very dark circle of trust that he already had, which was limited because he was in Germany. It's not like he was a global traveler that had already created, you know, this evil alliance. It took time. And as a matter of fact, on my website, if you go to the Constitutional Articles page at the very bottom, you'll find, and I think it's also on the Red State Talk Radio podcast page, go look for the proofs of a conspiracy to destroy all religions and governments of Europe. That document was written in 1794. And I am telling you that the Freemason organization was co-opted by the Illuminati. But the Freemasonry in America didn't get co-opted overnight. 1776, as a matter of fact, I believe that these men may have been involved in, you know, in that organization, but they were still righteous men, and they would not have actually, I'll just say, tarnished their reputation, and they would not have gone down this path of, you know, basically spoiling or defaming their own character of accepting, you know, this dark path of globalization. Go ahead.
I know we only have a minute left, but it's interesting, I think, the way this got outed. And I think you may be familiar with this. I think, again, the Lord's hand was with it. There was a courier who was delivering some of these documents. Someone, tell me if I'm right. And he got struck by lightning. And they found these documents on him. And that's how it was discovered back there in 1794. And whoever wrote Proofs of a Conspiracy wanted this far and wide. You know, that's what I understand happened.
Yes.
Had you heard that before?
Actually, no, I hadn't, but I do believe that the Lord, you know, tries to expose evil when he can, and I think he did, you know, he initiated that. You know, we didn't get a chance to get into the Assumption Acts. We're literally, you know, this is the last 10 seconds. Thank you very much for your contributions and your insights, and even thank you for your faith, or outing yourself, because I don't really want, I don't ask anybody about this. But folks, it really boils down to this. We have a charge. We have a responsibility to protect liberty. You know, we have individually our responsibility to basically protect our individual faith and our relationship with Christ. But more importantly, we have an obligation to all mankind of ensuring and guaranteeing that liberty be protected. And the Constitution is the only way. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review, so please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty.